funding for NJ Spotlight News provided by the members of the New Jersey Education Association, making public schools great for every child, and RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
Tonight on NJ Spotlight News, a rise in bias incidents here in New Jersey, but most troubling, says the Attorney General, is the surge in crimes taking place in our schools.
Right now in New Jersey, the place that's the most likely location for a bias crime or a bias incident to be reported is our schools.
Plus, President Biden delivers a fiery State of the Union, how his themes on the economy, reproductive rights, and immigration are playing here in the Garden State.
New Jersey is, in my opinion, taxed enough. I think we should do everything we can to fight for lower taxes and more affordability. I think a lot of it is the tax credits that are key, as he talked about.
Also in the running, once banned from the White House, the Prospect Park mayor launches a challenge to longtime Congressman Bill Pascrell.
While Bill is making decisions from the comfort of his offices in D.C. and Patterson, he has lost touch with the people of his district.
And boardwalk makeovers. The state approves $100 million to repair and rebuild over a dozen iconic boardwalks along our shores.
The fact that these boardwalks will be built in a more resilient way, I think it's going to mean a lot for generations to come.
NJ Spotlight News begins right now.
From NJPBS Studios, this is NJ Spotlight News with Brianna Venosi.
Good evening and thanks for joining us this Friday night. I'm Joanna Gagas, in for Brianna Venosi. Bias incidents and hate crimes continue to rise in New Jersey, and this might surprise you, the place they're most likely to be reported are our K-12 schools. Those are some of the preliminary findings in a report from the State Attorney General's office that also finds bias incidents jumped 22% last year compared to the previous year. That would make 2023 the eighth year in a row that reported incidents of bias have increased simply because of a person's race, religion, sexuality, or gender expression. Brianna Venosi sat down with Attorney General Matt Platkin as part of our Exploring Hate series to ask who's being targeted, what's behind this surge, and what the state is doing about it.
Attorney General Platkin, thanks for coming on the show. Your report finds that bias incidents are continuing to rise, but which groups specifically are being targeted?
Thanks, Brianna. Unfortunately, we're seeing a rise in bias and hate across virtually every demographic group. We know that the groups with the highest number of bias incidents reported were against the Black community and for religious base against the Jewish community. But literally every group is seeing a rise in bias and hate. And I know, both as the chief law enforcement officer and as a resident of the state, that too many people across our state are living in fear right now simply because of who they are, how they look, where they're from, what language they speak, or who they love.
What factors, if any, is your office able to point to attribute to this increase?
Well, I think there are several reasons, and we cite them in the report. The first, and this is a good thing, we've worked really hard in New Jersey under this administration to increase our outreach to communities, training, and to reform our systems of reporting so that people know when they report, and we've made it easier for them to do so, that we take it seriously and we respond to each and every single report. And that's something that everybody in the public should understand. There is no piece of information that's too small to report. But we also know that bias is on the rise, and we're seeing a number of contributing factors, whether that's social media or political leaders who are condoning or inciting bias acts. Certainly since October, the attacks in Israel and the subsequent conflict have resulted in increased biased activity against Jewish and Muslim residents. And we know there are many other factors, but bias absolutely is on the rise, and that concerns me.
I think a lot of times we picture these events happening strictly in the public, but in fact, the report points out that the bulk of these incidents are happening in K through 12 schools. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. So I think it's important for everyone to understand. Right now in New Jersey, the place that's the most likely location for a bias crime or a bias incident to be reported is our schools. And as a parent, And certainly as our chief law enforcement officer, that's alarming to me. So we've seen a whole range of bias incidents come in for our schools, everything from slurs or bullying, certainly social media, to potentially more serious or violent acts. And we take each and every one of those seriously, but we also need our schools to take it seriously. We've issued guidance to our K through 12 and institutions of higher education. And I've advised them that while this isn't something I'm looking to do, if they fail to create a safe environment for our kids, if kids can't go to school safely and learn safely and not be targeted because of who they are, then that school has potentially violated both state and federal law. So they have a legal obligation to provide that safe environment.
So beyond the guidelines and ensuring that, they follow them, what else is the state doing to combat it? And I'm thinking about districts like where in Ocean County, where Adriana Cush's family, of course, has accused the district of not following up on complaints of bullying, not following up on complaints of, other hate crimes that have happened. What is the state doing specifically to combat this?
So we've done and are doing a number of things, including targeted trainings for officials and community members throughout the state. We work closely with a number of partners to identify places that need that extra touch to make sure they understand what their obligations are and also that community members understand how to report incidents. Again, it's very unlikely, almost impossible, that the first time somebody engages in a bias act that's violent, it's their first time ever doing something with bias involved. So what we need to do is ensure that people trust us enough to provide that information, regardless of how severe they may view the conduct, so that we can intervene, provide resources, provide training, sometimes provide mediation to help resolve incidents before they escalate.
Attorney General Matt Plotkin on the office's latest bias incident report. Attorney General, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
President Biden last night delivering what many are calling an electric State of the Union address, some saying it was more of a political stump speech laying out his case for a second term. Not mincing words about the current GOP frontrunner and former president, although never mentioning Trump by name, calling him only my predecessor, accusing him of espousing resentment, revenge, and retribution, and for putting the freedoms of the American people in jeopardy both here and abroad. The president poking fun at his own age, saying, I know I may not look like it, but I've been around a while, but saying things are more clear for him than ever before and that he won't lead America with ancient ideas. All of New Jersey's congressional delegation were present to hear his priorities like immigration reform, securing abortion rights, and of course, aid to Israel and Ukraine. Senior correspondent Brenda Flanagan has all the reaction here in the state.
The state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
An animated Joe Biden came out swinging in a fiery and pointedly political State of the Union speech that doubled as a launch for his re-election campaign. The president declared freedom and democracy under attack, both at home and abroad, asking Congress to send desperately needed aid to Ukraine. Without saying Donald Trump's name, Biden called him out for engaging with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
A former Republican president tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
Biden referred to the Republican presumptive presidential nominee as my predecessor more than a dozen times, and he called the January 6th insurrection, quote, a dagger to the throat of American democracy, despite loud boos from Republicans.
Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
The president's performance during the hour-plus speech stood in sharp contrast to critics' depiction of an 81-year-old president too weak, shambling, and unfocused to serve.
When he got passionate about whatever issue, when he engaged directly with the Republicans who were trying to heckle him, those were the moments where I think you saw the quote-unquote strength, or at least that freshness and energy.
New Jersey's Republican members didn't respond to our requests for comment. Democrats genuinely applauded.
So it was really exciting. And then, you know, he just laid out a vision to our country that, quite frankly, reminded us of who we are as a nation.
The president listed economic priorities, including a $2,000 cap on prescription drugs for folks with private health insurance, $400 a month in mortgage assistance for people struggling to first-time buy or upgrade homes, and a 25% tax on America's wealthiest. That might be a hard sell.
New Jersey is, in my opinion, like taxed enough. I think we should do everything we can to fight for lower taxes and more affordability. I think a lot of it is the tax credits that are key, as he talked about.
Addressing the divisive Israel-Hamas war, Biden promised to build a seaport in Gaza to expedite humanitarian aid, to work for a six-week ceasefire, and bring hostages home, a message welcomed by Congressman Josh Gottheimer, who hosted a Tenafly family whose son is still held captive by Hamas.
And it's very important that we get aid in there, and as well as crush Hamas, right? I mean, this is a very complicated mission.
But I think we have a responsibility to hold Israel more accountable now to what seems to be an overreaction to what happened on October the 7th. You're devastating a whole city. That's wrong.
The president demanded a ban on assault weapons and called on Congress to safeguard IVF and abortion rights under siege since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And he warned the justices sitting before him, women wield electoral power.
As long as Republicans continue to attack the freedoms of women across the nation, it's going to continue to be front and center.
Republicans often heckled the president, especially Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, on immigration. Biden noted a bipartisan bill to beef up border protections had been scuttled by Trump. But in the GOP response, Alabama Senator Katie Britt blamed the president.
We know that President Biden didn't just create this border crisis. He invited it with 94 executive actions.
In a highly emotional speech from her kitchen, Britt, a Trump supporter, called Biden a permanent politician.
One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch.
Last night's speech certainly set the stage for a rematch. I'm Brenda Flanagan, NJ Spotlight News.
First Lady Tammy Murphy gained some momentum last night in her bid to replace indicted U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, beating her contender, Congressman Andy Kim, for the Somerset County line by a 2-1 margin. That's her second county convention win to Kim's 5. But this one was done by a show of hands instead of the standard secret ballot, a process that Kim criticizes, saying it put pressure on delegates to publicly support Murphy even after, he says, they promised him the votes. Meanwhile, a Democratic congressional primary is heating up in District 9. Prospect Park Mayor Mohammed Khairullah announced yesterday he'll challenge longtime Congressman Bill Pascrell. Pascrell's faced growing backlash from Palestinian Americans for refusing to call for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Melissa Rose Cooper has more on that race and what it could mean for the 9th District.
While Bill is making decisions from the comfort of his offices in D.C. and Patterson, he has lost touch with the people of his district.
Strong words from Prospect Park Mayor Mohammed Khairullah as he announces he's challenging Congressman Bill Pascrell for his seat in the 9th Congressional District. The mayor criticized Congressman Pascrell for initially refusing to call for a ceasefire in Gaza and for now only calling for a conditional ceasefire based on the release of hostages and flow of humanitarian aid. The mayor says it's proof Congressman Pascrell is no longer fit to represent his constituents, many who are Muslim.
In 2003, I sponsored a resolution in Prospect Park against the war on Iraq, and I was attacked on it. Bill supported the authorization to go to war, which he says he regrets later. A war that killed over 1 million Iraqis and destabilized the entire region and set it on fire by allowing the Iranian regime to stick its hands in the affairs of neighboring countries. Now, Bill refuses to call for an immediate ceasefire, which could have saved over 30,000 lives.
Anybody who is at this point going to fight for Palestinian liberation and peace for Palestinians and for Palestinian life has our vote.
Yusor Matari applauds Carulla's decision to run for Congress. While she admits her family has joined many others from New Jersey's Palestinian community in supporting Pascal over the years, she says his stance on the war has caused them to lose faith.
We say a ceasefire yesterday could have prevented the victim of today.
But Carulla has faced some controversy. Last year, he was disinvited from a White House event because of his inclusion on an FBI watch list, which he was later removed from. However, Dina Saeed Ahmed, communications manager for the Council on American Islamic Relations, says he's a prominent leader in the community and calls the watch list a microcosm of the American Muslim experience.
We see Muslims being added to these sort of watch lists without due process, without even an ability to reasonably or to really contest their, you know, their placement on these sort of watch lists, because you're not given a reason why. Sometimes you're removed secretly, and you're also not told why you were removed or why you were added in the first place.
A spokesperson for Congressman Pascrell responding to Carulla's announcement saying, Congressman Pascrell is eager to run for re-election against any challenger on his broad record of supporting the American economy, defending women's health freedom, and protecting American democracy. He has always had a good relationship with the mayor, including being the first in line to demand an explanation from the Secret Service when the mayor was banned and to the White House.
This is not a fight against the Democratic Party establishment. We have many friends and allies there. This is strictly a movement against a member of Congress who abandoned his constituents.
Voters will get to select their choice for the 9th congressional seat when they head to the polls in the June primary. For NJ Spotlight News, I'm Melissa Rose Cooper.
In our Spotlight on Business report tonight, some of the Jersey Shore's most iconic boardwalks are getting a makeover. Thanks to $100 million in funding from the state, 18 seaside towns will get anywhere from $500,000 up to $20 million to repair and rebuild what Governor Murphy's called their wooden main streets. Ted Goldberg visited two of those towns to see just how they'll put that money to use.
Down the shore, everything's all right. Maybe a little better now after $100 million in federal funds will help 18 shore towns build up their boardwalks.
We're going to redo any of the sort of old decking you see on the boardwalk, railings that are sort of wobbly. We're going to redo those and do better handicap accessible ramps.
Asbury Park got $20 million, tied with Atlantic City for the most given to any one city. Most of those funds are going to fix up the convention hall complex. While the breezeway is open, the convention hall and Paramount Theater have been closed for a few years now.
It's probably the most iconic building, I would argue, on the East Coast. Clearly a building that people want to see revitalized, along with sort of Asbury Park coming back.
Deputy Mayor Amy Quinn says the Paramount needs to fix its roof, while convention hall has deeper structural problems that will require much more money. She says the Paramount is much closer to opening and could be huge for Asbury.
Robinson Ale House is going to get a ton of reservations that night. Lodive is going to get a ton of reservations that night. The candy store, people are going to stop it and get candy. So the effect of these shows isn't just, oh, like the Paramount's open and 2,000 people came to see a show. Those 2,000 people then bought a towel, bought a book.
It's an incredible infusion of funding into the state of New Jersey.
Samuel Viovatin works for the state's Department of Community Affairs, which decided the communities receiving funds from the American Rescue Plan. He says 33 communities applied for funds, and the state prioritized low-income communities.
The vast majority are not receiving what they requested. Part of what we're going through with each of the grantees right now is to rescope the project to tell us how they're going to use the money. So if they requested $80 million, and they've received $20 million, what components of their proposal are they intending to fund with that $20 million?
Part of the rationale for where the money went was helping New Jersey shore towns become more resilient in the face of climate change and stronger storms.
The frequency of weather events has continued to grow. And so the fact that these boardwalks will be built in a more resilient way, I think is going to mean a lot for generations to come.
We designed a more resilient boardwalk than what we had. That same design is still in place, and we're going to expand that. While this is being referred to as a pier, and it is a pier, it is an extension of this design, so it will be more resilient than what we had in the past.
In Long Branch, A little more than $3 million is going to be spent to build a pier near Pier Village.
As far as we know, the first pier on the Atlantic Ocean was right here in Long Branch, right in this location. My understanding was in 1828, and that lasted for state until I think about 1854.
Mayor John Pallone says the new pier will be about 500 feet, smaller than the 800-footer that burned down in 1987, but it will be ADA compliant.
The whole idea, you know, with the pier is, again, an amenity for visitors and residents, as well as we want to go beyond the break of the water so people can appreciate the ocean views, and also fishermen could catch larger fish.
The Boardwalk Preservation Fund was signed into law last summer, helping shore towns rebuild and be more resilient in the future. In Monmouth County, I'm Ted Goldberg, NJ Spotlight News.
The job market saw a boost in February, U.S. labor adding 275,000 jobs, healthcare seeing the biggest gains. Some good news for what was a volatile week on Wall Street. Here's a look at how the markets closed. Breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer death among Black women in the U.S., not because Black women are more likely to develop cancer, but it's more likely to be detected at a later stage, according to experts. But here in Newark, the numbers are staggeringly worse. Black women are diagnosed with advanced breast cancer about twice the national average. So to combat this, University Hospital is rolling out a mobile mammography van to screen women right where they are. Raven Santana has more.
Meet the new mobile mammography bus that's rolling out hope and life-saving mammograms across Essex County.
And so by having the mobile van, what we're able to do is to go to where people congregate, where people associate, and where people feel comfortable.
Ed Jimenez is the president and chief executive officer of University Hospital. The hospital partnered with the Healthcare Foundation of New Jersey and the Connie Dwyer Breast Cancer Foundation to invest $1.2 million into the mammography bus. It will deliver preventative health care services to women through Essex County, where the rates of late-stage breast cancer are among the highest in the state.
Women that get screening mammograms, some portion of them will have what are called findings. Of people who have findings, roughly 6% will have very advanced breast cancer. So 6%. May sound like a small number, may sound like a big number. That's the national number. For the people we screen that are the residents of the city of Newark, we're having an 11% finding of severe disease, nearly double.
To combat these troubling statistics, the bus will bring care on the road to more than 4,000 residents a year.
And the new vehicle is equipped with state-of-the-art technology, including private exam rooms and even a registration area.
We anticipate that our flow time for a patient should really not be more than 30 to 40 minutes. That's by getting here, completing their check-in, and going through their procedure. We should be able to do at least 25 mammograms on the bus. And with that, our bus is about 45 feet long, 13 feet high, and about 13 feet wide. So we do take some space. On the bus, you have, of course, the typical registration area. You come in, you can check in. We do have a full examination room that a doctor can conduct any examination.
Valencia Maponia is the mobile health manager for University Hospital. She stresses that no matter what your situation is, no one will be turned away.
We do take insurance, and in terms of women who are uninsured or underinsured, we do have the SAFE program that if you meet eligibility, that will cover you. And then the third tranche of it, if you don't meet the eligibility to that, have no insurance, we still have a robust charity care system that we will have women apply to.
Maponia says early detection really is the difference between life and death for Black women.
White women are diagnosed with breast cancer at a higher number, but Black women die of breast cancer at a higher number. That's a problem.
We have a very unique population in Newark. It also has a very high population of Nigerian descent. Now, this is important because this particular population has a much higher rate of aggressive breast cancers than any other group in the world. These women come into the emergency room in their 30s with breast cancer that is already stage 4. Save the woman, save the family. It's so true. And I would add to that, save the society.
Jimenez says the bus will now be a staple for the hospital. He says the immediate goal is to screen as many women as possible, in turn spreading breast cancer education, awareness, and support to populations that need it the most. For NJ Spotlight News, I'm Raven Santana.
That's going to do it for us tonight. But before you go, make sure you tune into NJ Business Beat with Raven Santana this weekend. She takes a deeper dive into the governor's $56 billion budget from the perspective of the business community. And she talks with state leaders about the proposed corporate transit fee and the money going toward the Murphy administration's climate and affordable housing goals. Watch it Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9:30 on NJ PBS. I'm Joanna Gagas for the entire NJ Spotlight News team. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back here on Monday.
NJM Insurance Group, serving the insurance needs of residents and businesses for more than 100 years. And by the PSCG Foundation. Funding for Exploring Hate is provided by Charlotte and David Acker. Support also is provided by the Tiger Baron Foundation, Nancy and Morris W. Offit, and Josh Weston.
Our future relies on more than clean energy. Our future relies on empowered communities, the health and safety of our families and neighbors, of our schools and streets. The PSEG Foundation is committed to sustainability, equity, and economic empowerment, investing in parks, helping towns go green, supporting civic centers, scholarships, and workforce development that strengthen our community.